This is a vital update about coronavirus. To help save lives, stay at home. Anyone can spread coronavirus. Only leave your home for the following reasons: to shop for basic necessities, to pick up medicine, to travel to work if you absolutely cannot work from home, to provide care to those who need it, or to exercise. Always stay 2 meters apart. Do not meet others outside your household, even friends and family. Stay home. Protect the NHS. Save lives.
This is your AEW Dynamite review here for Wednesday, March 25th, 2020. I am the Solid Monster, AEW Dynamite, back at Daly's Place in Jacksonville for the second week in a row. What's going on, guys? Another Wednesday night here in this very wacky world. Once again, Dynamite broadcasting in front of an audience of none. Last week, we had wrestlers in the audience making noise. We had MJF placing bets on the matches with Sean Spears. Wardlow was sitting there, Tully Blanchard. We had all different people spread out in the audience to make noise, which really enhanced the show. We didn't have any of that this week. This week they were more mindful, I guess, of the safety of the performers, not wanting to take any chances. So they had a couple of scenes during the show where they showed people in this tiny trailer somewhere elsewhere. It was not the same. I'm not going to fault them for it, but definitely not the same vibe that we had for last week's show, unfortunately. And this is the way things are going to be from now on. All told, though, I still thought they put on a pretty strong show. I didn't like this as much as last week's show, but we did get one kick-ass match tonight. The AAA Mega Heavyweight Championship match, Kenny Omega defending against Sammy Guevara. Went over 20 minutes. Really good match between these two guys. Easily the highlight of the entire show. Let me know in the chat, by the way, guys. You can hear me just so I know we're all on the same page here. I don't want to be talking to myself here these first few minutes. But a very strong championship match. And then, of course, the show ending with the confrontation between Chris Jericho and broken Matt Hardy coming face-to-face. We'll get into that a little bit later on. Plus, I got some words about WrestleMania. No spoilers or anything like that. I don't think any spoilers have leaked. At least I hope not. We'll talk about that. A few notes on Dark Side of the Ring as well. And then we'll take your calls at the end of the show. So we'll get into all that. Polls open at Solomonster on Twitter. For those of you who want to vote, thumbs up, thumbs down. Both NXT and AEW polls are up for you to vote. Hit that thumbs up button on this video, if you don't mind. We're going to have new subscribers chiming in all night. So if you are not subbed, please be one of the new ones. Hit that sub button. Super chats are open. You're going to start seeing them pop up any second now on your screen as they begin to filter in. And you guys know, oh, look at this. Not a bad way to start. Not a bad way to start. UI Khan with the $30. Who else thinks Brody Lee's overreaction to the sneeze was a dig at Vince McMahon? Ah, yes, that was the second highlight of the night here on this show, as we see creepy Jeff Hardy on our screen. So yeah, Super Chats are open. Tony Schiavone was on commentary to open the night. He had Cody and Kenny Omega with him. Jim Ross and Excalibur were given the night off. They were not used tonight. Look, we hear Tony on the show every week, but we have not really had the opportunity to hear Tony as the lead announcer. That's a role that belongs to Jim Ross. There was something nice about hearing Schiavone's voice again as the lead play-by-play guy when you throw it to a commercial break. I really was getting Nitro vibes from 20 years ago from this. I thought he and Cody, you know, did a fine job on commentary. Now, one thing that they one thing that they previewed, I guess, on the AEW Twitter account before tonight's show, they put a little drinking game together, as you can see on your screen. The Cody commentary drinking game. Now, the rules were very simple. Every time Cody says, wait a minute, during commentary, take a drink. And if Cody says, wait a minute, more than once in a row, chug for 5 seconds. Well, I'm sorry to say, I had a FaceTime chat going with four different people, so I didn't get to hear too much of the commentary tonight. So you guys will have to tell me. I didn't really hear Cody, I didn't hear him say it at all, actually. So you guys will let me know if he said, wait a minute. But you know what? I don't need to hear Cody say, wait a minute, to have an excuse to take a drink. I had mine in hand, and I think I probably took about 6 swigs. Actually, probably more than that during the show tonight. But yes, they had the Cody drinking commentary game. I don't think he went overboard, even if he did say it. So anyway, that was an interesting little game that they had going tonight here during the show. The Inner Circle was in the back in what looked like a little trailer, rooting against Cody in the opening match. It was Cody against Jimmy Havoc. We've not seen Jimmy Havoc in months on television. At least he might have been appearing on Dark. Probably not Dynamite. But in any event, we had Cody against Jimmy Havoc. Cody hit a suplex on the ramp. Then all of a sudden he disappeared. He vanished. He ran into the tunnel, into the back, and then he came running back out with a lariat, knocked Havoc back into the ring, and Cody had tried for what was his second attempt at a Cody cutter. Havoc caught him in a flying armbar. Yeah, this was a nice little match. Nice little match here. I mean, nothing too memorable, but, you know, it was fine. Nice to see Jimmy Havoc again. Cody wins with the Crossroads, and this was the setup for a Jake Roberts promo, a video message from Jake the Snake Roberts that popped up on the screen. He's seen sitting in the woods, had a fire burning in front of him. Said, you know, he's the best mind in wrestling. He didn't even get so much as a phone call when AEW started. He was greatly offended by this. Said Cody was afraid to bring Lance Archer in because he saw him wrecking people all over the world. He was deathly afraid. Jake called Cody Caesar, referred to Brandy as a Jezebel Delilah. He was Monica to Cody's Bill. Now, how many young people are not going to get that reference? I ain't going to explain it for them. So you want to tell them in the chat, be my guest. He said Cody can bring whoever he wants along. He can bring Brandy. He can bring Arn Anderson. So long as Jake and Lance Archer get their shot. And he ended the promo with his trademark, trust me. Always good to see Jake in his evil environment here. Old school Jake Roberts, trust me promo. They zoomed in on his eyes when it was over. It really is the perfect setting. Cut these creepy pre-tape promos with Jake. It's kind of, you know, kind of sad that they brought him into AEW. And I don't know how much of him we're actually going to see in person. You know, how wise would it be for them to be flying him around? I think you tape a bunch of shit like this with him, and you probably just keep him out of the arena setting as long as possible. I wouldn't be flying this guy around. I wouldn't be taking that chance. So the timing is not ideal, but I thought this was a very good video promo. Prince Walker, thank you for the super chat. It says, today is my 13-year point in the Navy. Also, things so restricted here in the Navy that they shut down the barbershops and said, we don't have to get haircuts because of social distancing. Now I won't be getting one either. They're all closed around here, too. I'm going to look like Bushman by the time this is over. We had Darby Allin against Superbad Kip Sabian. Cody was on commentary. So Cody, he was on commentary when the show started. He left commentary to go wrestle in the opening match, and then he returned to commentary. So Cody was back on headset. He was talking about Darby's popularity, and he was making a comparison between his popularity and that of all the little stingers back when Sting was popular in WCW in the early 90s. He goes, now it's little Darby's. I'll bet Priscilla Kelly would like to have herself some little Darby's at one point. Maybe not right now, but at some point. So there was some kind of a screw-up here. We had Shivani and Cody. They were throwing it to a commercial break. And they were, you know, continuing to call the action. I guess there's a Fight TV international feed. They were still live on TNT. And then they did cut to a commercial ultimately. That was a little awkward. Darby made a comeback. And Sabian cut him off. Was using an abdominal stretch, just stretching him around the ring post. And Sabian used the distraction from Penelope Ford outside, hit a neck breaker. Darby kicked out. Darby got the win in the end with what he calls the Last Supper. It's a good thing they called it that, because I had no idea he called it the Last Supper. Looked like a Indian deathlock that he bridged over with the leg lock, hooked him for the pin. So a solid win for Darby Allin. You know, it's too bad. Again, he had all this momentum coming out of that match with Sammy at Revolution. You know, he was popular for a while, but it looked like maybe this was going to be his chance to really break out into that next level. And it's just, you know, everything was just put on hold with everything going on. And he was coming out and getting some of the best reactions. He was getting louder reactions than most people on the show every week. And now you come out to silence, and it's just not the same. This is what I said. I said this a few weeks ago. I said, it doesn't even matter how good these AEW shows are going to be, or if WWE was putting on great shows all of a sudden in front of an empty crowd. You can only do this for so many weeks before it gets old. It's already getting old. And it's not their fault, but that's just a fact of life. Wrestling is meant to be held in front of people. It is not meant to be held in front of empty chairs. And it sucks for people like Darby Allin, who had so much momentum and beloved by the audience. And now they just come out to crickets every week. It's quite depressing. I'll tell you what's not depressing. Speaking of depressing and not depressing, this ain't depressing. This review tonight is sponsored by The Ridge. Now, if you don't know what a wallet from The Ridge is, what one looks like, well, there you go. Wonder no more. It's on your screen. It is a slim, lightweight wallet. Fits comfortably in your pocket. Doesn't take up too much space. It can expand out to hold up to as many a dozen cards. Cash strap, money clip, whatever you prefer. On the back to hold your cash, built-in technology to protect you from data theft. They come in aluminum, titanium, carbon fiber, forged carbon, a variety of colors for you to choose from. And if you ever have any issue at all with your wallet, which is highly unlikely, each one is backed by a lifetime warranty, so just contact the team at The Ridge, and they'll take care of it for you. They also offer free returns within 45 days, so you can rest easy with each purchase. Ridge wallets are designed so you can carry less while still having everything you need. Get 10% off your Ridge wallet with free shipping all over the world. Visit ridge.com/solomonster. Use the code solomonster at checkout. That's ridge.com/solomonster. Get 10% off with free shipping with the code solomonster. See how easy that was? Hey, the cheeseburger, 666, thank you for the $10. Would David Benoit be a good fit for AEW? What are your thoughts? I say yes. I say no. He's got to go to wrestling school. What does he know? He hasn't had a match. This was the argument after he did the interview with Chris Van Vliet. What is this? Was like a sympathy siding? I hope he can find success at some point in the wrestling business, if that's what he so chooses, if that's what his heart desires. I haven't seen him wrestle one man. Nobody has seen him wrestle a single match. Why would they sign him to a contract? Because of his last name? Are we just welcoming nepotism now? I mean, I know nepotism happens all the time. He should have to train and go through the same rigors that everybody else does. And if he's good enough, then give him a shot. But that's the ball's in his court, if that's what he wants to pursue. I've heard him talk a lot about it over the years. I've heard him, you know, rolling around with Davey Boy Smith and all that. That's great. But that's not the same as training to become a professional wrestler. Let him train first. And if he's good, then you know what? One day he may get a contract. So, Jake Hager took on Chico Adams. If you're wondering who Chico Adams was, you're not alone. He basically killed this dude, hit a Vader bomb, Uranage, put the head and arm choke on him. Chico passed out. John Moxley, the AEW champion, appeared. A wild John Moxley appeared, fresh off super kicking his wife. I don't know how many of you, I should have posted that here. We had John Moxley super kicking Renee Young on Instagram for a roll of toilet paper. Things have gotten so dire, so desperate here in this country. John Moxley is super kicking his wife for a roll of of toilet paper. It's quite sad. So he went after Hager, hit him with the paradigm shift. Hager popped right up. He recovered right away. And he went after Moxley's ankle. He was trying to put him in the ankle lock. Moxley knocked him out of the ring. I didn't like that at all. You know, that's his finishing move. He's the champion. Why is Hager popping right up from that? I thought that was dumb. But then Moxley in the back, he cut a promo. He said he's finally cleared for action, medically cleared. Said that Hager walked away from a fight tonight, but he won't walk away next time. He said Hager is going to be carted away on a stretcher, or Moxley is going to die trying. So they're setting up Jon Moxley against Jake Hager. I would assume they're just going to blow this off in a TV match sometime in the next few weeks. Yeah, a TV match is fine. Certainly not a pay-per-view main event. I don't care what Hager's record is, win-loss record, doesn't matter to me. He ought not be challenging Jon Moxley in a big pay-per-view main event for the championship. They want to do a TV main event? Fine with me. Tony Schiavone, he threw it to a video earlier today that was shot of the Exalted One. It was Brody Lee at a table eating a steak dinner. It was a darkened room. Steak looked delicious. Got me hungry. Alex Reynolds was sitting on one side of the table. John Silver was sitting on the other. And they had a steak of their own. I think it was steak and potatoes in front of them. They were not eating. They were dying to eat. Brody was the only one eating. And it looked like Silver was going to go take a bite out of his steak. This greatly offended Brody Lee. He says, "You eat when I'm done." And he told Alex Reynolds to smarten his boy up. So he was gone, and then Reynolds sneezed, and Lee threw a fit, threw him out of the ring. The first thing I thought of course, was Vince McMahon and all the stories about him not liking, he doesn't like it when people sneeze. He doesn't like it when he has to sneeze, because as the story goes, it is something that he is not in control of. His body, it's an involuntary response. Vince McMahon likes to be in control. He does not like sickness. He does not like illness. And so if you sneeze around him, that is a bad thing to be doing. He himself occasionally has apparently let out a sneeze in production meetings. And writers have said that on those rare occasions where it has happened, he is visibly angry at himself because it is something that he has no control over. He is a very strange individual, and I am positive, I am beyond positive, that that is exactly what they had in mind when they scripted this for this segment. So he chased him out of the room after that. But we got Brody Lee in a suit. Forgot to mention that. He was wearing a suit and tie here. Luke Harper has gone corporate. The only thing he has to do now is shave that rat's nest on his face. And we'll have a totally new look for Brody Lee. Brody has also, in case you haven't been paying attention, he has been delegating responsibilities to his underlings, namely Evil Uno. He's been bullying him on Twitter. The other day he ordered him to tweet me daily what day of the week it is. I guess to remind him of what day of the week it is. So he seems to be taking very quickly to this leadership role, bossing around all of the underlings beneath him. Brody Lee made his in-ring debut against QT Marshall, Appleboy. Tony Schiavone here. This was the funniest moment on the entire show. So the Exalted One is about to make his big in-ring debut, right? In a match. We saw him last week make his, technically, I guess that was his in-ring debut. But this was his first match in an AEW ring. And Tony Schiavone just goes, "The Exalted One is here!" I can't even replicate the way he did it. It was comical. It was comical the way that he said that. "The Exalted One is here!" Oh my goodness. And he was. Now, Brody's gear, I would say, was improved from last week. He ditched the baggy purple pants in favor of gray gear. But he was, I don't know if I was the only one who noticed this. I commented on this on the FaceTime chat that I was on during this show. He was giving off a bit of a Repo Man vibe to me here. Just the design of the tights. I know it wasn't tire tracks, but from afar, it kind of looked like that, right? The gray color. He looked a bit like Repo Man in those tights. And I loved Repo Man. I mean, who doesn't like Repo Man? What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine too. I mean, that's one of the great all-time catchphrases in professional wrestling. His theme song, you know, Repo Man. It goes into the theme, that mono theme, that old-school WWF mono theme music. Anyway, he dominated most of this match. QT made a short comeback, hit two enziguris, boss man slam by Brody. Then he turned him inside out. Knocked the shit out of this guy with a discus lariat for the win. So, an impressive little squash for Brody Lee. Nicer gear. We're starting to see him show some personality already with that vignette. So we're off to a good start with him in this role. Tony Schiavone threw it to their West Coast correspondent for the night. Yes, indeed, they had a West Coast correspondent for this show. It was Vanguard One. Vanguard One was going to give us an update on the medical condition, a medical update on Nick Jackson. The still image that they showed of Nick Jackson was the image of him with that garage door. Remember, he was crushed below the garage door, blood streaming down. He looked like a murder victim. But Cody assured Tony, he said, even Cody said, my God, look at that picture that you put up on screen. The guy, he's actually doing pretty well. So we see Vanguard One is flying above. He swoops down and we see Nick Jackson. He's training in his garage. And Nick looks over, he sees the drone. He goes to walk over to it and Vanguard One flies away. We had, let me just give a shout out here. AF, ASDF, thank you for the super chat. Said, I did not watch Hager's run in WWE. He comes off as a main eventer in AEW. He should get the belt one day. Well, you and I disagree on that. Nothing worse than dried chicken sent a super chat in. By the way, I agree wholeheartedly. Says, hey, from England, from Baldcock. No, Baldock. I'm sorry. Jesus Christ. From Baldock. There we go. He says, yes, Baldock. I'm personally planning my... Oh, my God. How much have I had to drink? Not too much. Not too much. I'm personally planning my next scheduled... for schooling in the UK, I hate it, but this is perking me up at 2 a.m. Yeah, you know, it's very late over in the UK. So thank you to Nothing Worse Than Dry Chicken for the super chat and for tuning in here tonight. At a very late hour, Kenny Omega defended his AAA Mega Heavyweight Championship against Sammy Guevara. This was the best match on the show. This was the best match, I think, probably in weeks on this show. The best of all the matches they've done so far in the empty arena. These two were killing it. Guevara used an eye rake to gain an advantage, spilled outside the ring, and on the row of chairs in the first row, there were a series of illustrated drawings taped to the chairs. I think it was of the Elite. The last one in the row was an illustrated picture, a black and white drawing of Brandi Rhodes. Sammy, right before they cut to commercial, he yanked the picture off the chair, and he started making out with it. When I say making out, he was using the tongue and everything. And Brandi, of course, was on the other side of the ring. She was the ring announcer again this week. They cut to Brandi. She had the most disgusted look that you have ever seen on a woman's face. And then they cut back to him. They cut back to her. She looked equally as disgusted. I was revolted. They cut to commercial. They came back, and Guevara was working over on Omega's hand, his injured hand, and just a lot of good action back and forth. They were trading strikes after the commercial break. Sammy fought out of a snapdragon attempt, rolled through into a double stomp, and he hit a springboard cutter, hit a tope on the outside. Kenny caught Sammy off a springboard attack, hit a power bomb, followed by a V-trigger, and Guevara blocked a Liger Bomb, scored a two count. Sammy missed a Shooting Star Press, and Omega hit not one, but two V-trigger knees. And Sammy escaped a Snapdragon, hit a Burning Hammer. It was like, yeah, the reverse GTS. We don't see Burning Hammers too often. We got one here. Or at least a version of it. It was actually more of a, like a reverse GTS. And Kenny ended up hitting another V-Trigger. He hit a J-Driller. And then a One-Winged Angel for the finish. So Kenny Omega wins. He retains the championship. And this was great. I have nothing bad to say about this match. This was tremendous action. Sammy is great. Kenny, we know what Kenny is capable of. And they did the best they could. Look, again, it's hard. It's got to be hard for them. When you're having a 20-minute match back and forth, like a Kenny Omega-type match, right? 20 minutes in that ring, and you don't have an audience to play off of. It's got to be a mind fuck. It's just not natural. When you're in a professional wrestling, even if you've got 20 people at an indie show in the crowd, you're relying on the reaction of that crowd to dictate what it is that you're doing next. Is it working? Is it not working? These guys put on a clinic in front of nobody. So I applaud them for that. Jared, holy shit, my friend, $60 Super Chat, you're a crazy man. Jared is a crazy man. But thank you for the support. And again, nothing worse than dried chicken is back. He says, in England, we won't see it until tomorrow, so I'm using my homeschooling as debate. We then came to the final segment. Chris Jericho out for a face-to-face with broken Matt Hardy. Jericho's in the ring by himself. There's no Matt. But Vanguard 1 appears. Vanguard 1 here on AEW is getting more television time than Chad Gable on SmackDown. Or Mustafa Ali. A lot of very talented people. We have a drone here on this TV show getting more television time than those guys. So Vanguard 1, he's hovering overhead. And Jericho says, I've never liked you, Vanguard 1. I don't like your political views on social media. Because you're a piece of shit. Vanguard 1. But then he invites him to join the inner circle. He just called the guy a piece of shit. I guess it could be a woman. You just told this drone, you called it a piece of shit. And then you want to invite it to join your little posse. Well, Vanguard 1 was having none of this. He flew away and Jericho said, come back here, you son of a bitch. We hear the piano music and all of a sudden up in the rafters, in the stands, up top in the arena, we see Matt Hardy. But then all of a sudden, he disappears, and he teleports to another section. And then another section, and another section, and another section. And then suddenly, he's down at ringside. They were playing some video effects with Matt Hardy. So now he gets into the ring and says, Chris Jericho, I knew you'd come. That's what she said. And Jericho tries to sweet-talk him, tells him that, look, what? You to align with the inner circle. I don't want you to align with those sons of bitches in the elite. Matt says he aligned with the elite because they were owed, or he owed them rather, a debt. There was a debt to be paid. He owed them a debt. And he called Jericho, at one point he called him a hole of the ass, I believe is what, I'm going to call somebody that one day. I got to use that on somebody. Called him a hole of the ass. And Jericho said, you know, Matt's always been living in the shadow of bad booking, and now he's living in Jericho's shadow. Not a big fan of that whole breaking of the fourth wall shit, but yeah. Let's not talk about booking on these shows, please. So he poses the question to Matt. He says, are you inner circle or are you elite? And Hardy says, elite. They go back and forth, delete, elite, delete, delete, back and forth we go. Matt's looking out into the crowd, and he says that he sees one of our great presidents sitting there. He sees Abraham Lincoln. He looks somewhere else. He says he sees Martin Luther King. This man belongs in a padded cell, not in a wrestling ring. Jericho smacked him. Hardy nailed him back, knocked him down. Jericho said, you know, I could do magic too. He says, abracadabra. And he snaps his fingers and Sammy Guevara attacks Matt from behind. Cody and Kenny Omega, they appear with chairs in hand to run them off. And as Jericho and Sammy are standing on stage, flames begin to shoot up. We didn't get pyro this week at the beginning of the show, but we got it at the end. Flames are shooting up. One of these flames almost burnt Jericho to a crisp. We almost had extra crispy, well-done Chris Jericho here on this show. And that is how they went off the air. I, you know, look, I like Broken Matt, and I thought Yeah, the final segment was fine. Vanguard 1, I'm entertained whenever I see Vanguard 1. Definitely not the kind of hit that the final segment was on last week's show. I couldn't help but listen to Matt as he was talking in this empty building. It sounded kind of like community theater here. But Matt is just, he's crazy enough where he makes it very entertaining. So I thought it was a good segment. It wasn't great. You know, it didn't blow me away or anything like that. I laughed at a couple of the parts. It's tough because, again, they're putting this Blood and Guts match off indefinitely. We have no date for the Blood and Guts match. It could be months before we see the blow-off between these two factions. And I wonder, what are they going to do? If they just insist on going live every week in Jacksonville in front of an empty building, what are you building to, I guess, is my question. You've got to be building to something. We're not even sure there's going to be a Double or Nothing show in Vegas at the end of May. Maybe they'll do Double or Nothing in Jacksonville. What are they building to? That we're not sure. And that's also frustrating because we don't have an end date for anything. And so all of this just feels like it's kind of on hold. But that was the show. You know, good show. I'd say good show overall, but not as good as it was last week. Let's take a look at the... actually, before we even get to the Twitter poll results, we got a whole bunch of people to shout out here. Soggy fries. You know what? The only thing I hate worse than dried chicken is soggy fries. Thank you for the $2. Pete Santiago, thank you for the 20 spot. Kevin, oh my God, thank you for the super chat. Says thank you for the live show tonight. Well, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate that. Magician Fire, thank you for the $10. The Matt Jericho segment was bizarre, he says, and brilliant. And the Antagonist, thank you for the $10. I've been practicing social distancing since I was 21 years old. Thanks for keeping the show going, Solid Monster. To say I look forward to it would be an understatement. And Pete Santiago, when did you start watching wrestling? I started watching wrestling in 1987. It's a long time ago. Pete Santiago with that Sheamus fan super chat. One of my favorite ones. The crazed Sheamus fan. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll, see where things stand right now so far. AEW poll, we've got over 1,000 votes in already. 86% thumbs up, 13.8% thumbs down. So a damn good score there. And then, of course, NXT, which actually I believe NXT did have some actual matches this week. And we've got, let's see here. CJ, thank you for the super chat. I appreciate that, my friend. CJ is one of the mods that we have in the chat. So thanks to him for all of his help. 700 votes for NXT so far. 63.6% thumbs up, 36.4% thumbs down. I'm sensing a pattern here. AEW is usually up over NXT by a good 20%. 20 to 25% each week. And so the pattern, it seems to be holding so far. As far as that is concerned. So before we get to phone calls and all that good stuff, let me just talk really quickly here about WrestleMania. WrestleMania is mostly taped. Never thought I would hear myself say those words, but yes, WrestleMania has mostly been taped. And reportedly, a lot of the top matches have already been taken care of. They're in the can. They do have some more material left to tape tomorrow before the executive order goes into effect in Orange County, Florida, which does include Winter Park. You know, people say, oh, the Performance Center in Orlando. Technically, the Performance Center is in a part of Florida called Winter Park. And Winter Park is going to be included in this executive order, which shuts down all non-essential businesses and bars people from going out anywhere other than to shop for groceries or if they want to take a walk, I guess, and do some exercise outside. That goes into effect 11 p.m. tomorrow, so basically 24 hours from now. And so they're going to get WrestleMania in right under the wire. Very convenient. Very convenient. And WWE would get all their WrestleMania shit in right before the order takes effect. It's almost as if they were tipped off by somebody. I'm sure that couldn't happen. Nah. Never. I'll be doing my WrestleMania predictions next week. I'm considering even going live on YouTube to do it. But either way, can watch for that sometime next week. Probably next Thursday, unless I decide to do it Tuesday. It'll probably be one of those days. I'm not going to wait for SmackDown on Friday. I just don't want to wait that long. But yeah, we'll do predictions next week. And then one last thing. One last thing here before we get to your calls. And Skywalker, thank you for the Russo on a poll, bro. $10 super chat. It's funny you should talk about the Benoit documentary here. Because I did want to mention something Dark Side of the Ring related. And by the way, I'm going to have a full review, my thoughts on the two-part Chris Benoit episode, or episodes, of Dark Side of the Ring, which was excellent, depressing, but excellent. And if you have not seen it, you need to watch it. You can see it. I believe they've now posted both parts, parts one and two, for free on the Vice YouTube channel. Now, if you are not in this country, it's possible it could be region blocked. If it is, just FYI, I mean, you know, you could still use the ExpressVPN link. They were a sponsor of the show not too long ago, and there is an offer if you use our link and sign up for a year. I think they give 3 extra months for free. So that's expressvpn.com/solomonster if you want to go the VPN route, for those of you who know how VPNs work. But you should be able to just go on the Vice YouTube channel and check it out. It's absolutely worth your time. But I want you to take a look at this photo. I'm going to put a photo on the screen right now that a lot of you may not have seen. This was posted on Twitter in January on the official Twitter for the Owen Hart Foundation. Maybe a lot of people didn't see it, but there it is. Now, the picture you see on your screen is a picture of Martha Hart. She is the widow of Owen Hart. And in front of her is Owen's son, Oj. I don't know how many people have even seen Oj before, or what the grown-up version of Oj looks like, but there he is. Owen had a son, he had a daughter, Athena, and that is a picture of Owen's wife and Owen's son. And they were interviewed for the Owen Hart episode of Dark Side of the Ring. I believe the Owen Hart episode is being saved as the season finale, so it's probably going to be several weeks before it airs. It's fascinating because Chris Jericho, and shout out to Glenn, I heard from Glenn and a couple of other people who tipped me off that Jericho had the director and the producer of Dark Side of the Ring on his podcast to talk about the making of the show and some of the episodes and what went into it. And they were talking about the Owen episode, and they said, we were not going to do an Owen Hart episode if we did not get cooperation from Owen's widow. It just did not make sense to do it. We needed her. We wanted her. We had to have the family involved. We had questions for them. They knew Owen better than anybody. And so they reached out to her. I think it was the director. He got the email address for Martha's assistant, and a shot in the dark, he emailed the person. And a few days later, Martha got back to him, and she had 10 really well-thought-out questions. It was as if she was probing them, but they said it was really well-thought-out, asking about their background, what their intentions were, just a whole series of questions. And she said, look, take your time in answering them. She was going to be traveling for a couple of weeks. Think it over and get back to her. So they took 2 weeks. They mulled over these questions. They wanted to just give, you know, the answers that they thought she wanted to hear. And she must have liked what they had to say because she was on board. She said, let's meet. And the director flew up to, I don't know if they're in Calgary or where they are, but he went to go meet with her and her son, who you see on the screen right now. And so they were able to get Owen's wife. They were able to get both of Owen's kids, his son and his daughter, to be interviewed to be part of this project. Apparently, Oj is studying not to be a wrestler. He's studying to be a lawyer. Looking at him, he probably would be, well, let's see, he was 7 years old when his father passed away. So now, you know, he'd be in his late 20s. And the director said, you know, he remembers, he was young, but he remembers what happened like it was yesterday. He remembers what happened to his father like it was yesterday. And just one last point, and I did not know this And this is one of those things I like about these Dark Side of the Ring episodes, even the Benoit ones. I learned little details that I didn't know about before. You know, when they were showing the photos from the crime scene of the Benoit murders, and they showed his son's room, his son's bedroom, which was, you know, just horrible. I mean, sad as all hell. But they were showing, you know, parts of the bedroom. And then you see, like, a knife, like a big butcher knife, laying under the bed. What the hell was a knife doing? I didn't even know they found a knife in the room. Just little details like that. Well, one of the things about the Owen Hart episode that I guess we're going to see when it airs, about a week or so after Owen died, Martha and her family flew out to Kemper Arena in Kansas City, where Owen died at the Over the Edge pay-per-view. She flew out to Kemper Arena. She felt that she had to retrace his steps. So she wanted to be walked through exactly the same path, that Owen went through, you know, going up into the catwalk and getting ready for the big stunt where he was going to lower down into the ring. She retraced his steps exactly. And I had no idea. I had no idea that she had ever did that. The exact trek that Owen took, his final steps. She took Oj up onto the catwalk. She thought it was important for him to just understand, I guess, where his father was and, you know, what he saw. You know, I guess before whatever happened. So just imagine that. His wife is up in the rafters. He was 80 feet up. He was 80 feet in the air above the ring. And this was only a week or so after he died, and she was up there. Oj, 7 years old. He was up there. I never knew that. I had no idea. And what must that have been like? I can't even begin to imagine. So that's going to be a heavy episode. And again, I'm pretty sure that that's the season finale. So it'll be a few weeks. But man, that was some detail to find out about. You can listen to it, by the way. Talk is Jericho. I believe it's the latest episode. It's very good if you want to hear from the director and the producer. So let's move ahead here. Take some phone calls. See what you guys thought of the show here tonight. Got to do a few more quick shout-outs here. We're getting a lot of love, getting a lot of support here tonight. Mr. E1976, thank you for the $5. I appreciate it. Level 20, Facto Tomb, thank you for the super chat. Says, my condolences to the Cornette family as Jim Cornette probably bursted into flames from watching that last segment of AEW tonight. Does he watch? Oh, I guess he does. I guess he reviews AEW on his podcast. Well, I guess that'll make for an interesting rant this week. Andrew Wasserman, thank you for the $15. Thanks for all you do. Listening to the podcast got me back into wrestling. And Daniel Carr, thank you for the super chat as well. Says, from your resident shithead, thank you for the streams. Remember that podcast a few weeks ago? Said shithead is the new term of endearment. Thank you, shithead. I do appreciate it. All right, let's cut the chat from me and go to PA. Area code 610, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, Sal Muster? This is John from Philly.
Hey, Josh, how you doing?
Good. It's actually John, not Josh.
John. You gotta speak up, man. I want to hear that booming voice.
Sorry, I've just been working all day.
That's
tired.
Okay.
You know.
Man, you're still working. You're one of the few who's actually still working, apparently.
Yeah. Sadly.
Yeah.
I wish I was like everybody else, doing nothing.
What's going on? What'd you think of the show tonight?
Not bad. Felt the production quality was lagging a little bit at times. Otherwise, matches are pretty good. I don't think we had any women's matches, so that was a little different, I guess. But overall, pretty good show. I want to get to my question, though. I know you got a lot of calls. As a wrestling fan, I'm more of an old-school classic guy. I like old-school matches, old-school production quality. I see a lot of that with AEW. I'm sure Cody had a lot of implementation with that, seeing as he's an old school guy as well. watching AEW Nitro, not Nitro, Dynamite. It feels like old Nitro episode.
Hey, listen, you're not the only one. I was listening to Tony tonight. I was having flashbacks to 20 years ago.
Yeah, definitely. Me too. It feels like Nitro almost. And I was just thinking about like their championship, their main championship, the AEW championship, like how the reigns and everything could be planned out in the future. I was thinking maybe AEW could do like WWF did back in the day, where they had Bruno Sammartino or Bob Backlund or Lou Thesz, maybe have one of their younger guys be holding the championship for an extended period of time, maybe 2, 3, 4 years, establish them as a concrete champion. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that. And if so, if you could think that will work, who would you like to see on the AEW roster be that guy to hold the championship for a number of years?
The idea of somebody holding the championship for years, I don't know that I'm necessarily enamored with that idea. I've had people email me before and ask me, like, oh, if there's a Bruno Sammartino type, you know, these days who held the title for like 8 years or something, who would it be? It's not practical. You know, those days are over. You can have a champion who reigns for a year or even longer than that. Brock Lesnar, I mean, for God's sakes, Brock Lesnar off and on. You know, it's funny to me. I was watching Raw Monday night, and they showed that awesome triple threat match from the Royal Rumble in 2015. And I said, man, it's been 5 years. 2020 now. It's been 5 years since that match. It was a great match. And when it was over, they said, Brock Lesnar is going to WrestleMania to defend the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. And I said, here we are in 2020, and Brock Lesnar is going to WrestleMania to defend the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I said, obviously he wasn't champion the whole way through, but man, it kind of feels like he's been champion for 5 years, doesn't it? I mean, it's there's been some breaks in between, and there's, you know, two different belts that he's held, but that's probably the closest we're going to get to that kind of champion. I think someone like a Hangman Page, as far as putting the belt on, you know, like a young guy. I know he's not homegrown. He was already a name elsewhere, but he is one of those young guys I think they could kind of build around at one point as the champion. He's certainly, you know, a lot closer to being that kind of guy now than he was in August when he wrestled Chris Jericho that first time. Him, Darby Allin could get to that point where he could be a champion, you know, somebody they could put the belt on and build around him for at least a few months. But the idea of having some kind of long-term extended champion for this, you know, long period of time, yeah, it gets boring after a while. I wouldn't even advocate that. You know, you can keep people strong, I'm fine with that, but the idea of having a champion that, you know, reigns for a long time and is that dominant, yeah, you put a babyface in that position, eventually the people are going to turn on them. Even Stone Cold. And who was more popular than him at his peak? Very, very few people I could think of. Hogan, maybe. But, you know, it wasn't as though Austin was the champion for a year or two years straight. Austin never really had what I would consider a long run at any point, really, during his run there in WWE. First time he won the title, he dropped it, I think, 3 months later. 3 or 4 months later, got the belt back, dropped it again, back and forth we went. I'm not saying play hot potato with it, but I certainly would not advocate long-term champions, and I don't think that's something we're really going to see, not for a while. Let's go to Jared. I believe this is J-Man 516 here on the air.
Hey, Jason, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
My dad said he'll come on next week and I'll donate another $30 to you.
He doesn't have to do that, but tell him I appreciate that.
Yeah, he'll wear the mask and everything for you, but, you know, he's above 6 feet, so I don't know what you want to do.
Well, if he could he do the 619? You think he's spry enough where he can pull that
off?
I've been
showing him the 619, but, you know, he's 65 years old, so, you know.
Well, that might be asking. Yeah, that might be asking. That might be pushing it a little bit. Maybe he can do like a, what's half of 619? What is that? 3 3 3 0. What is that? Three. I don't even know. I'm terrible at math.
He could do a 313.
There you go. 313. If he can pull 313 off, I'd be impressed.
Okay, so, you know, tonight's show was wasn't exciting as last week. I didn't expect it to be. Honestly, Jason, I'm going to be really honest, living here in New York, I used to tune this in just to take my mind off everything and everything. But, man, I really hope this whole Brody Lee thing is not what they did with the VKM thing down in TNA in 2003 and 2004 with Road Dogg and Billy Gunn. I really hope it's not like that. It's, you know, I don't want to see references to him. This is a separate company. I don't want to see him. I don't want to see them take their anger on him in snivy ways. I mean, I'm not sticking up for Vince McMahon, but Brody Lee is such a big talent that he could be doing more than this. I'm glad that he's talking well. He needs a little acting skills, but you know, do you understand what I'm saying?
I mean, not really. I think I like the fact that we got to see him in a totally different light tonight during that one video package.
Yes, I agree with that, but do you want him mocking Vince McMahon every week?
It was such a subtle... No, I don't want him doing that every week. I thought it was just a little...
Okay.
It was a little subtle dig. I thought it was cute, but I would not want to see that every week, and if they make a habit out of it, then that's terrible, because you do want to just, at some point, clean slate, don't reference WWE. It was a stupid little thing that somebody probably thought, hey, this could be funny. Let's have the guy sneeze. It's not like he was, you know, specifically saying WWE or, you know, he made reference to the Wyatt family or anything like that. So it didn't, I get your point.
Jason,
I get your point.
I agree.
But it didn't bother me that much.
Okay.
I don't want them to make a habit.
I'm just saying 2 weeks in a row, I was no clue this old man is going to tell me what to do. 2 weeks in a row and he's at stake with the dinner and the suit, he looked awkward, but he needs to shave that beard, man, like you said. But, I thought it was a good show. I thought the Kenny-Sammy match was great. And, and that's really all I got to say. I mean, it is what it is right now. And I think what AEW is doing is much better than what, I hate saying it, doing what Vince is doing. And Vince is doing the... taping thing, they're doing live. Tony Khan is, you know, showing some balls here and doing this. And, I'm just looking for escape here. That's all I am. Monday Night Raw last night was not an escape to me.
Yeah, I mean, there were parts of Raw, like the promo work, I have to say, the promo work on Raw has been very strong. And if there's one thing that comes out of this whole thing whenever this is over, and who the hell knows when it's going to be over. But on the other side of this, when we finally get to the other side of all of this stuff, I would like to see them learn something from this, in that it's okay to do promos, whether it's when you go to the back, you mute the crowd, or just the idea of doing more on-location type promo segments, because these promos have been helped by the fact that there's no audience, there's no booing, there's no what chance, there's none of that bullshit. You just have, it's a quiet setting, and the focus is on Edge, or the focus is on Randy Orton, or whoever is cutting the promo. I like the promo work that we've seen, and I think it's been more focused and intense, and I like that, and I'd like to see that continue at some point. But the actual wrestling and everything else we're seeing, if anything hits home these last few weeks, it's just how important it is for wrestling to be held in front of an audience.
Yeah, Jason, you know, I know you wrestle, I think WrestleVotes or WrestleZone is what you take, you know, you have a very high esteem with them. You know, they're looking at like Becky versus, you know, Shayna as the main event at night one. So Drew and Brock are not even night one.
Well, I saw that. I WrestleVotes said, and that's not confirmed. And he also made another good
point. I know it's not confirmed.
He made another good point. No, I know, but he made another good point, which is that the fact that they're taping all of these matches, and it makes sense, when everything is done, and I guess everything will be done after tomorrow, when everything is done, they can sit there and look at these matches and say, well, this one didn't exactly go the way we had hoped, so even if we were planning on this match going on last, this kind of sucked. So let's put this on last instead. So to me, until everything is done, nothing is, regardless of what anybody says, nobody knows shit as far as what's going to actually air last. They've got 10 days after this to figure out what's actually going to air last on Saturday night. But I guess the idea is, I guess the idea is that if the matches go well enough, they could say, well, we got a women's main event on night one. You ask me, honestly, the way things are right now, if you're going to put a women's match on as the main event of the first night, I would probably go Charlotte Rhea over Becky and Shayna. I know Becky and Shayna has been positioned as kind of... I get that Becky is like one of their big stars and everything, but I'm way more interested in Charlotte and Rhea than I am Becky and Shayna right now.
Yeah, but Jason, Becky does not have the luster and shine that she did 1 year ago.
No.
Okay? Let's all admit that. So, but did you also hear that that the Cena, you know, Fiend match is going to be in the Funhouse?
Yeah, well, that was my suggestion last week, and then I saw the note this
week.
I saw the note this week. They didn't say they didn't say Funhouse. They just said that it's going to be shot in a warehouse. It's going to be a very gimmicky, I mean, I would assume that means Funhouse type, you know, like environment. Yeah. But yeah, I did see that, and it, you know what? Matches like that, just like the Boneyard match with Undertaker and AJ, I hear that, and it's one of two things. It's either going to be really, really bad, or it's going to be...
Or really short.
Well, it's...
2 minutes.
Maybe, but either it's going to be absolutely god-awful, or it's going to be super entertaining. So I'm hoping that it turns out to be entertaining, because you can't do 16 matches all in an empty PC. That is death. That sounds miserable. You've got to take it outside in some other environment. So, fine. They want to do a Funhouse match? Great. I think Edge and Randy Orton should be held in a backlot somewhere or an alleyway.
Exactly. I just like 96 with Goldust and Razor.
Yes,
I totally agree with you.
Yep, tape the fists and let them go at it.
And you know, they have all the reasons to do it like this. And I think that could be, for us older fans, can really, hey, you know, this is something different. This is cool. You know, we could build on this. And I want to see fail, but, you know, I want to see some entertaining matches. But, I mean, when you brought up on the podcast on Sunday that, hey, we could really have some out of the box wrestling matches, you know, I was like, wow, Jason, you know, you got a great point there. You know, we could film this just like a horror movie or whatever it's got to be. And, you know, we could have, you know, WrestleMania cannot be totally dead in the water. It can be, I'm not saying it's worth $59.99 on cable, but $10 on the network, I'll watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not writing this WrestleMania off yet. I mean, I'm sure it's
no,
not
going to
be.
I'm not.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not going to be the best one that we've ever... It can't be. I mean, it's not going to feel like WrestleMania, but that doesn't mean that it can't turn out to be, you know, at least one of the nights can't turn out to be a very entertaining show. And I'll be here reviewing both shows on both nights. So if it's great or if it sucks, you're going to hear me talking about it here on YouTube. So hopefully you'll call in then, too, when I review everything.
Of course. And Jason, of course, stay safe and... you know, I'm here in New York with you, and all take precautions, and just please stay safe, man, and keep on podcasting, and, you know, I'll get Ray on for you, and you'll have a good time with him.
Thank you. All right, you too. You guys stay safe.
Have a good day, night, Jason.
All right, you too.
Be good.
So that was Jared calling in from New York. Yeah, look, I mean, some people are writing off WrestleMania already. Oh, it's going to suck. It's good, this and that. Look, you don't know if it's going to suck until you watch it. We've never had a WrestleMania show like this before. Never. And hopefully never will again. But these are the circumstances they're working under. So we'll see what happens. I think, you know, Edge and Randy Orton has been the best promoted match of any of the matches on WrestleMania. I think it would be very hard to fuck that up. But let's see what they do. Some of these stipulations... We've got a Boneyard match, you know, which I have to assume is just code for like a graveyard or a cemetery. They just don't want to call it that. We may see AJ Styles literally buried on this pay-per-view next weekend. I will tell you that the one thing I was actually kind of looking forward to is the teases that, you know, AJ was calling out Mark Calloway and his wife, and I'm like, all right, cool. We're going to get the big evil version of The Undertaker. He'll cut a promo like a normal human being, and just a different version, right, of The Undertaker than we've had in a number of years. And then I watched this show on Monday night, and this motherfucker comes out, AJ that is, and he says, I want the dead man. What? What do you mean you want the dead man? You've been calling out Mark Calloway the last 2 weeks. I was looking forward to that. Now he's calling the dead man. So we're going to get Dead Man Zombie Undertaker, which we've had now for the last however many years. How is that any different than what we have seen every year in the last 5 years? Here they had a chance to do something a little bit different. And now it seems like they're going back in the opposite direction. No. Go back. Go back. Put the car in reverse. Go back the other way. You're going the wrong way. I was actually looking forward to that. What the hell are you going to do? Let's see here. Let me close this. I accidentally opened my music player here. Yeah, we definitely don't want that. Let's go to, let's do 651. 651, you're on the air.
What up, Thought Monster? It's Brandon from Florida.
Hey, Brandon.
Just got two quick questions. One, just a side note, how do you feel about Syndergaard being injured since you're a Mets fan?
I'm not very happy about it, but I guess if it was going to happen, since there's probably not going to be a season this year, I guess now's as good a time as any to get hurt.
Okay, and fair enough. And then second question, how would you feel if, you know, Katrina came into AEW, and who would you, like, put her in? Like, if she was a manager, who'd you work her with?
Oh, I would. You know what? If they were going to bring her in, I would have made her the Exalted One. That would have been a nice little swerve for her to bring the Exalted One and then bring in Mil Muertes. We get them reunited from Lucha Underground. I thought they were a great combo. If she came in now, I'd still love to see her with Mil. I don't know what his relationship is. Was he working in AAA? Or I don't know where he's working, down in Mexico. You know, if they brought her in, I'd love to see them reunite the two of them. But if I were going to put her with a current roster star, I don't know. I don't know that she, because I guess I'm still thinking of her in that kind of that dark persona, almost like that dark kind of goth persona. But I guess if she just came in as you know, like a normal person, you could put her with anybody, really. You won't get any complaints out of me if you put her on TV. But I'd love to see her and Mil Muertes be reunited.
No problem, man. Have a good night, and thank you for the phone call.
All right, well, there you go. That was his question. Straight and to the point. I like it. And I would love to see Katrina in AEW, by the way. I'm just saying, if anybody hears this, as far as I know, she's not signed with anybody, so hey, that would not be a bad pickup for them. 415. I think we'll go to 415 next, if he's there. 415, you're on the air.
Hey, Jason. This is James from Daly City, California. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. Third time calling. Nice that you took my call again. So I guess you weren't the only one drinking during Dynamite tonight. I had a few drinks myself, and it was a really good show. Another really good show, considering what they're working with. Just a couple of quick questions. First of all, now that Brody Lee is the Exalted One, who would you want to see him feud with first?
Oh, that's a good question. Who would his first feud be with? You know, I think, for some reason, there's something about the big guy, little guy dynamic, but I think a Brody Lee, Darby Allin feud would actually be a lot of fun. And I have a feeling the two of them might work well together.
Yeah, that's a really good pick. And lastly, as you know, Matt Hardy and Jericho are obviously going to feud. Who would you book for Matt Hardy's like first actual, you know, AEW grown talent to feud with?
So who to feud with who? Say that again. I missed the first part.
So they introduced, you know, Matt Hardy's in AEW now, and he's obviously going to feud with Jericho. But considering they're both, you know, old WWE guys, who would you want to see Matt Hardy feud with who's an actual, like, AEW talent?
I mean, you know, there's any number of them, really. I mean, it would have to be a heel, I guess. So I'm just trying to think on the heel side. outside of Jericho, there's nobody that I would necessarily put him with in the inner circle. I mean, him and Sammy, I guess, but I would want to put him in there with somebody who he can have that back and forth with on the mic. I'm just trying to think who would fit that criteria. Might be somebody who's appearing on Dark lately who I'm not seeing on Dynamite. I'm trying to think of who we've seen on TV recently on the heel side. MJF? Yeah, I think Matt Hardy and MJF could be entertaining. Do you not agree?
Awesome. Well, it's almost...
I thought maybe I was in the minority on this. MJF. Okay. All right.
Well, MJF could like feud with anybody and it'll be gold because, you know, the guy carries himself really well. Like, he's an old school heel that, you know, if Jim Cornette loves him, then, you know, he's doing something right, because Jim Cornette's probably like the pickiest motherfucker out there, you know?
Well, I just think MJF, he would be appalled, I think, just by the mere presence of Matt and all the zany, wacky stuff that he does. And then imagine, yeah, MJF is trying to cut a promo or something and the stupid drone is hovering around his head. You know, I just think it could be very entertaining. So I think MJF would be a good candidate.
For sure, he would be. And lastly, in regard to your Facebook group, were you shocked that Stone Cold won the tournament?
Now, which tournament would this be?
It's actually in your Facebook group. Like, there's like a little bracket going on of like it was like the greatest of all time for WWE, and Stone Cold ended up winning.
Oh, that one. Okay. No, I mean, I'm not surprised. I didn't partake in any of that, but, I mean, again, it depends on what the criteria is. I think everybody's going to have a different criteria for who they think is the greatest of all time. If it's a WWE, you're talking a WWE bracket. There's only a few options really that make sense, right? But it depends on how old of a fan you are. So if you started watching wrestling in the 70s, let's say, if you're old enough to where you were started way back when, you might argue that Bruno, we were talking about him a little while ago, right? Long-term champions. Bruno Sammartino was champion for 8 years, right? He was the biggest draw in the Northeast at a time when the company was really, really only running the Northeast. So you could say, well, Bruno is the best of all time. Or you would say Hogan. Now, I grew up a little Hulkamaniac back in the day. There was a period of time I would have said Hogan. I wouldn't necessarily say that now. Austin, you could argue Austin. Austin's run really wasn't that long when you look at it. Brett's my all-time favorite, but would I rank Brett above, you know, Hogan and Austin in terms of star power or, like, being a big draw? No. In terms of, like, match quality and telling stories in the ring and stuff? Yep. So it depends. What's your criteria? I think everybody's got their own. So there's no real answer. If they voted Austin as the greatest of all time, hey, who am I to argue? He's one of the best that company's ever had. One of the biggest names of all time.
Yeah, he really is. To me, he's like definitely on my Mount Rushmore. But yeah. But anyways, Jason, you have a great night. Thanks for answering my call and be safe out there.
Thank you. You too. Yeah, the whole Mount Rushmore stuff, I've answered this question a few times, I feel like, over the years. But if you ask me to put a Mount Rushmore together, just like to say four names, on one for WWE specifically, who would be on there? It's the same thing. Some people would put Bruno. I wouldn't. I respect his body of work, but I don't have that kind of emotional attachment to Bruno or Bob Backlund or any of those guys. You know, on my Mount Rushmore, it would probably be Hogan, Austin. I think Rock. Rock probably deserves to be on there. And then it gets a little dicey. You know, me personally, I'd put Brett, but I can understand why people don't think he would belong on there. Hogan, Austin, Rock, Cena. I could see Cena. I wouldn't have an issue with Cena. You know, Cena was their big gun for a long time. Cena had a much longer run than Austin did. You could argue that even though business was not what it used to be, you know, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, where would that company have been without a John Cena? Who would have been the guy? Batista? Who would have been the guy? Randy Orton? They would have been in pretty rough shape, I would say, without John Cena. Does he not deserve a spot on Mount Rushmore? I mean, 2005 to 2000, you know what, 15, 14? It's a pretty long run for a guy like that on top. That's not an easy thing to do. But I always love the different answers people give, because everybody has a different answer. Everybody's Mount Rushmore looks different. Let's do a couple more here. Let's go to 201. I think this is a Jersey call. 201, you're on the air. But it would help if I actually put him through. There we go. 201, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom Moss, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How you doing, man?
I'm all right. I'm hanging in there here in New York. It's getting kind of scary around here, but I'm alive, so that's good.
Right, right. Yeah, you made a good point about the Mount Rushmore thing. Yeah, John Cena, even though I hate him so much, yeah, he's been there for a long time, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, and, I mean, he's been there. Look, he was on, not just there, he was on top for a long time. People forget, you
right,
know,
right,
Austin.
Right.
Austin, if you really think about it,
Yeah,
I wouldn't even count 97 because he still wasn't the top guy there. I would say you would have to look at it from beginning of 98 until,
yes,
let's see, he retired in 2003, but he was off for 8 months from the neck injury, and maybe 9 months. He was gone 9 months with the neck surgery, so you throw that away. So really, his time on top was 1, 2, 3, 4, wasn't even a full 5 years. I mean, it really wasn't that long. So some people are going to look at that and hold that against him and say, hey, you know, Hogan was on top for 10 years and, you know, Cena was on top for 10, 12 years. Look, there's no single answer. It all depends on, I think, when you grew up and when you started watching.
Right. You want to talk about the Mount Rushmore wrestling. How about the women's wrestling Mount Rushmore? Who would you pick?
Women's wrestling Mount Rushmore. I'm going to let you go while I think about this. Women's wrestling Mount Rushmore. So we're talking all time, right? It's hard because there's been so many great Japanese female wrestlers. So it's almost, I almost have to just sort of put them on the side. Let's talk WWE, I guess, right? Which is probably pissing off all the AEW people, but this is what happens. You get WWE questions. Mount Rushmore of the women. I hate to even put her on there. The whole Moolah thing. I can understand why people would think she's got to be on there because she was the champion for like 27 freaking years. I really don't want to put her on. I'm not going to put her on mine. I would put... I like Sherry. I do like Sherry. I think she deserves recognition. She's one of those early trailblazers of the women's division. You know, Trish Stratus. God, I'd have to think about that. I really would have to think about that because I feel like I'm neglecting some women who deserve to be mentioned here. You know, look, what about Elizabeth? What about someone like Elizabeth? Now, she didn't wrestle, but so what? You know, Dark Side of the Ring documentary, they were talking about woman, you know, Nancy Benoit, and the career that she had. She was a manager for so many years. She was woman in WCW and, you know, ECW. Just because she wasn't a wrestler, does she not deserve to be recognized? Did she not blaze a trail, you know, for women in that role of valet? It's a hard question to answer. It's a hard one. I'd have to think more about that. I don't think it's fair for me to just spit out four names. I got to give that some more thought. Let's go to... 502, you're on the air.
Song Monster.
What's going on?
Hello. Hey, how's it going?
Good. Hello. Can you hear me? All right, well, I guess not. I'm not going to sit here and talk to myself. That ain't going to happen. Let's see here. Nothing worse than fried chicken. Again, or dried chicken. Nothing. Boy, that's a big difference. I really fucked that one up, didn't I? There's nothing better than fried chicken. There ain't nothing worse than dried chicken. Thank you for the super chat. He sent another super chat in here. And he says, mother of wrestling fans, going on 14, 9, and 3. Wow, ages 14, 9, and 3. The 9-year-old, I give you the donation as Elliot and his two other friends has to debate wrestling over darts. They win as it's going on via paper for homeschooling. So thank you again to nothing worse than dried chicken, not fried chicken. That was a big faux pas on my part. Booger Burgers. That's a cool name. Booger Burgers, thank you for the super chat. If there's no wrestling shows for a while, I will lose my mind. Yeah, I'm going to lose my mind too. It's not good for wrestling podcasts. You kind of need wrestling. It's like doing an NBA podcast with no basketball. It just doesn't work. Oofman Rules, shout out to him. One of the wrenches, one of the mods in the chat. Show him some love. Food Hive, thank you for the $5. Appreciate it. Chris Quillman, how's that vaccine on a poll super chat coming along? I hope I didn't just hang up on Chris. Chris might have been the one I just hung up on. But if I did, try calling back. I didn't hear you. I was getting radio silence. But thank you for the super chat. Lord Frieza. Lord Frieza. Thank you for the super chat. It ain't live video without the Emperor himself. And Chris Ludek. Thank you as well. If Brock and Rock don't leave WWE in 2004, how big do Batista and Cena get? I think they get big, but it takes a while longer. It takes a little while longer, but I think they say cream rises to the top. They were going to have to put some new talent over at some point. So maybe if it doesn't happen in 2005, maybe it happens in 2006. You know, maybe it happens in 2007. But I don't think it changes too much. And 804? Yeah, let's give 804. 804, you're cool. On the air.
Hey, this is Steven from Virginia. I actually met you in Orlando in 2017, so it's good to be calling in again.
Awesome. Hey,
Steven. Yeah, I wanted to mention a few things. I was watching Dark Side of the Ring, and I heard your thoughts on it. I was thinking about maybe them covering Ox Baker if they ever do a season 3. I think he'd be a great topic, and with the deaths and the riot, you know, that happened in his career. And then I was thinking about music being played during matches to break up the awkward silence, like ECW did with the New Jack. I wanted to get your thoughts on those two things.
As far as music being played, you mean during matches?
Yes. Like you know, when you play video games, like there's music being played. It's like maybe that would, you know, help get rid of the awkward silence that's not, you know, covered by commentary.
Okay. So during the empty arena shows, you mean?
Yes, sorry.
I don't know though. I don't know if that would work though, because I guess the question would be, do people find that too distracting? You know, now obviously right. You would play it at a lower volume, but to create that noise in the background, yeah, I don't know, maybe. You know what, it's probably something that's worth experimenting with, like a low-level squash or something on SmackDown, you know, or Monday Night Raw, and just see how the people react to it. You got to try different things. You don't know how long this is going to go on for, so, you know, maybe you could try it, but I don't think you could do that for every match. Maybe only select matches, you know, squash matches, but for, like, big matches, you don't want to take the attention away from what's going on in the ring.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And I think you mentioned Adrian Adonis as one of your choices for a Dark Side of the Ring episode. I was thinking Ox Baker or Dynamite Kid. Thoughts on a possible season 3 of Dark Side, like your choices of topic?
Yeah, I hope they do a season 3. I saw the ratings on Vice for this first episode were the highest ratings of any episode so far in the first two seasons, so that's encouraging. Although they kind of started out with their biggest episode, so I would imagine it'll dip. But if the numbers hold up, hopefully there'll be a season 3. I said on the podcast a few weeks ago, I ran off a whole bunch of ideas for what I'd like to see. Dynamite Kid was one. I think he was by all accounts, as a human being, he was just a shitty person, but he led an interesting career. I think it was a lesson probably in all things not to do. I think he would make for a great subject. I think Brian Pillman, his kind of rise and fall, could make for an interesting subject. Magnum TA, the accident that destroyed what could have been the career of one of the biggest NWA stars. We'll never know. You know, would he have gone on to become champion? A lot of people think he would have. Some people say, nah, he probably wouldn't have. He probably would have been a big star, but not that big. We'll never know. You know, he had that car accident back in, what was it, 86? So that was one of the great tragedies in wrestling. I mean, he survived, but ended his career prematurely. So I think a show on him would be interesting. I think I named a few other ones, but those were sort of the main ones that I thought of that I think would make for an interesting story. Yeah, Adrian Adonis could be another one too. You know, and the circumstances around that crash that killed him. There were actually other wrestlers in that same van or car who died. I think they either hit a moose or there was a moose on the road and they swerved. It's a sad story, but yeah, this, I don't think with the wrestling business there's going to be any shortage of topics for them to choose. I'm looking forward to the Dino Bravo episode. I don't know what week that's going to air this season. I do know that they interviewed his daughter. They found his daughter and they interviewed him. It probably, I guess it would have been the daughter that was in the mother's hands when the mother walked in and found the murder scene. You know, his daughter was a baby at that point. My understanding is they found the daughter. They interviewed her. She doesn't speak English. She probably speaks French or something, but I guess they'll give us subtitles. But yeah. So that I really hope they interviewed Rick Martel, because he knows a lot of the details about what happened there. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to that. And 315, you're on the air.
Hey, Jason. Good to talk to you, man. It's Jeremy from upstate New York.
Hey, Jeremy.
Tonight was a good show, but I don't want to be that smarky kind of fan, but boy, sometimes it just feels like some of the matches almost drag a little. I don't know if that's because of the shorthanded staff that I know they're working with or what is it? You see moves like, say, the Kenny and Sammy match, and you have these moments where Kenny's sitting outside of the ring just waiting for Sammy to dive at him, and it's like, could that have been shot differently? I wonder those kinds of things. Like, maybe I'm getting too technical with it, but I'm starting to notice those as these shows go on and on.
Yeah, I mean, and you're going to notice that more often, I think, because of the lack of crowd. And part of it is the way they're shot, too. I mean, there are, in WWE, it happens there, too, where, you know, for example, if you got a bunch of guys outside and they're just waiting for somebody to dive, but they're maybe congregating a little too soon and the guy's not ready yet, it's just goofy. You know, when they're just, like, who would just stand there and wait for somebody to dive? Like, there's a way to, sometimes people just miss their cue or they go too quickly or whatever. Is there a different way to shoot it? Maybe. But I think a lot of this has to do with the lack of crowd. So now you're not focused on anything except just these two guys. And so it's, you're noticing every little detail now, every little, like, forget calling spots. That's the last thing you want to be caught doing now, because you can hear everything they're saying in the ring. That's why I think one of the great reasons to do John Cena and The Fiend outside the ring in some kind of warehouse or something is cut down on the spot calling. Because can you imagine John Cena calling spots in an empty PC?
Oof, yeah, that's going to be tough.
That would be very tough.
Well, I look at things like AEW and the production that they put into all of their video segments and all of those things, and I'm just like, wow, like, maybe is it time for them to do maybe more of that per week? I mean, I don't know how, I no idea how much it takes to put into those things to make those. But when you see, like, those kind of things, maybe you cut the matches down just a tiny bit more, throw some more of those things in. Like, Darby sitting there drinking out of a broken glass and setting up his match with Kip Sabian that was just basically a thrown together match. Like, that stuff's incredible. And I love those things that AEW does. And I if WWE has that money and that kind of production, you would hope that they could come somewhere in that ballpark.
Oh yeah. They've got everything. They've got the money. They've got a great production team. They could do the exact same thing. I really enjoyed the Jake and Lance Archer segments they've done. The Darby stuff has been good. You know, they had something with Pac many weeks ago. You know, it was, I think, before the Iron Man match with him and Kenny, where they did this vignette with him. I don't know where he was. He was standing in like a stairway somewhere, but it was just really well shot, you know, professionally shot, really well done. It's the sort of things where when Dynamite first started, they weren't doing enough of that. It was just match, match, match. And I said, my God, you've got to break these matches up. Give us some vignettes. Give us some promos. And then slowly but surely, they started to incorporate more of them, not just on YouTube, but they started to put them on TV. And yeah, I think their production work is top notch with those videos.
And I think it's really one of their strengths. I mean, look at, like you were talking about earlier, the Brody Lee stuff. Like, that set his entire character in one sit down.
Absolutely.
I guess we had the vignette before where they were introducing him, but now tonight you get to see, like, there's a whole, like, there could be a faction breaking up in, like, the Dark Order. There could be this upset bunch of guys that are behind him. I look at him like a super shredder, and those are all his Foot Clan behind him. Kind of a situation where it's like this one guy who's like drunk with power.
Yeah, we don't need Kevin Nash in AEW, but
No, definitely not. But I would gladly take more Penelope Ford.
Oh yes,
every week. Keep that coming.
Oh my goodness! Can you imagine a Penelope Ford against Katrina feud in AEW? I don't know if the matches would be worth a shit, but I would sure like to see it.
Yeah, well, I mean, Penelope and the match that she had with Kip and Riho and Kenny. I don't know how much who carrying who, but that went on the boat.
Yeah, that was great.
She's got skills.
I've said that for a while. She's not just eye candy. She's actually very talented. I think, was it All In or whatever those early shows were? It was either All In or Double or Nothing. But she did this super athletic spot, and I noticed from that point on, I said, boy, you know, she's not just a valet who's, like, nice to look at. She actually is very athletic, and she's got a lot of talent. We just haven't had a lot of chances yet to see it. But she's one of those people I'd like to see more of on the show. The women's division is still a work in progress.
Absolutely. Well, one last question before I go, because I know you've probably got a couple more people, or you're heading to bed. It's getting a little late here. Is this a time now for AEW to introduce another title? Or at least set up the idea that one's coming to maybe get some more matches in there that make sense? Because we've got guys like Darby, who's, is he fighting Moxley next week? Moxley, it seems like he's got his own card of people that are waiting in the wings. I mean, he's got MJF, who's talking about getting in there with, and he's still dealing with the Inner Circle. So, like, is there another thing to strive for?
There will be. There should be. There will be. I don't know if now is the time with everything going on. I would wait a little bit longer. I figured there probably weren't going to be any hints about that for a few more months. Now everything just feels like it's being pushed back. I think a mid-card title is inevitable. It's just a matter of when. It's not a matter of if. Were all of this nonsense that we're seeing not going on right now, I would say probably post Double or Nothing, sometime in the summer, maybe late summer, we would have seen something introduced. And now, I mean, who knows? Everything is just up in the air right now. But they're going to need one. Those guys in the middle are going to need, or even the upper middle, are going to need something to fight for, because not everybody can go after Jon Moxley. So there should be something in the middle that gives people a reason to fight. You know, the Dynamite Diamond Ring that MJF has, obviously he's not defending that, but there's got to be something else at stake. And let's go to 248. You're on the air. 248.
Hey, it's Martin. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. When do you think they're ever going to have Sonny Kiss on AEW? He's only on the dark matches, I know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he might have been in the crowd last week, but we haven't seen him doing anything really on TV. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if they are ready to, you know, there's only so many spots on the main show. I don't know who you feud him with. Maybe they're just waiting for the right.
Okay.
Maybe they're just waiting for the right feud to come along for him. Look, I saw Jimmy Havoc against Cody tonight, and I couldn't tell you the last time I saw Jimmy Havoc on Dynamite.
Right. It's just they have a lot of people that they're not using. And, you know, I used to like Brandi Rose, but she takes a lot of screen time.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's just a matter of when there's a role for him, they'll probably just you know, plug him in there. But until then, we'll probably just get him on Dynamite each week.
Okay. Are you going to watch Is it true that they're supposed to have a second show, AEW? I heard they're supposed to have a second show. They got
they are.
Picked up.
Yeah, they yeah. are. There was some question about whether it would just be Dark, but Dark would be moving to TV. AEW has said it's not. It's a totally new show. I don't know. You know, now I don't know. They have a deal in place for a new show. It was probably going to start sometime soon. And now I would have to think it's probably on hold. I mean, you know, they're going to have trouble just doing Dynamite every week in front of no audience. So I don't think this is the time to introduce a second show.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Are you going to watch WrestleMania?
I am. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to review it here on this channel.
All right. I look forward to it. Nice talking to you.
All right, you too. Got two nights, in fact, of WrestleMania next weekend right here. Live on YouTube after night one. I'll be here broadcasting full recap of the show, and then the very same thing the next night, 24 hours later on Sunday, night two. And come right back here on YouTube. We'll be doing the same thing all over again. And then taking your calls at the end. And we'll, speaking of end, we'll end with 732. You're on the air.
Hey, Saul Monster. This is Pete Santiago. I sent you a super chat earlier.
Awesome. Thank you for the support.
Hey, I got a couple things. It's funny because a bunch of stuff came up that I wanted to mention. I guess I'm an old-timer compared to some of your callers. I go back to 1978. One of the first matches I saw was actually 3 months in a row, Bruno Sammartino and Superstar Billy Graham at the Philadelphia Spectrum. And, you know, to watch those matches compared to what you're watching today, totally different, and it kind of leads me to what you were talking about before about the Mount Rushmore. And if you didn't like Bruno, would you like Ric Flair, Austin Rock, and Cena? Because that's the only other person I could see put on there.
You could argue Flair. If you're just doing a WWE Mount Rushmore, it becomes a little iffier, just because really, I mean, the classic matches and everything were really in the NWA. I could see leaving him off at WWE. If you're doing just a general wrestling Mount Rushmore, then he's absolutely on there. But a WWE one, he wouldn't be on mine.
Gotcha. And then the only other thing I want to ask you about is people jumping ship from WWE to AEW. Revival, I guess that's pretty obvious. Do you see Ricochet or The Fiend leaving?
No. And I would imagine they're probably under contract for a while. So, I mean, I've not seen any kind of reports about them, you know, their deals coming up soon. Usually somebody knows something about everyone's contract, it seems. I've not heard a single thing about either one of them. So, I don't know why The Fiend would leave. I think you could argue, I guess we'll see how the WrestleMania match goes. But I mentioned that
because he seems like, every time he gets a little bit of a push, then they push him down. And the same thing with Ricochet. Ricochet was going great there for a while, and all of a sudden, now he's on the main event. He's not, and he's, you know, he's squash talent, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, he deserves better treatment because he's a great talent. Although I could see where, you know, promo wise, he's kind of the shits, to be honest with you. But The Fiend is in a position right now with that character and everything, and probably the creative freedom they give him, where he'd have to start over again. I mean, I would imagine if he left, he couldn't be The Fiend. He'd have to come up with a completely different persona, I would think. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure. Look.
Why do they have him lose to Goldberg, though?
Because they felt Goldberg against Roman Reigns was obviously the bigger draw for WrestleMania.
Yeah, wow.
I disagree. I think there was a story to
tell.
Yeah,
me too.
I think there was a story to tell. You could have done it with Roman, but really, the story to tell was him and Cena. But the title should have been at stake, right? So you have two stories going at
Absolutely.
Once. On the Cena side, everything he said about The Fiend in that promo a few weeks ago still applies. And so what does he want to do? I don't respect you. I don't think you deserve the spot you're in. I've got to take that title from you. That title means everything. You don't deserve it. I'm going to take it. And when I do, he's going to set the record, right? Number 17. So there's that story. Right. The Bray story doesn't have to change at all. You can still say 6 years ago, WrestleMania 30, you know, I've never forgotten, and it was this slow descent into madness. But that title number 17, you would have had everybody believing that Cena was going to have the big crowning moment, and then in the end, the Fiend wins, and he gets a big win over Cena. Cena does not get 17, and then he goes back to Hollywood, right, and he does his movies.
Mm.
But what do I know?
The only other thing I wanted to ask.
What do I know? I'm just some dumb schmuck with a microphone, right? What do I know?
You're in New York, right?
I am in New York.
I'm in New Jersey, so be safe, my friend.
Thank you. You too. It's getting scary out there.
Oh, yeah. You got it.
All right. Take care. Getting scary. It's getting scary, but you know what? For a few hours each week, get to watch wrestling, get to come on here, get to talk wrestling, take your mind off things. It's going to be this way for a long time. Anybody thinking this is going to be over in a few weeks? I said this on Sunday. You are living in Candyland. Say hello to Lord Licorice for me. Tell him I said hi. So anyway, we have our little respite each week here from the ills of the world. So hopefully you will join me, not just for the podcast this Sunday, that'll be episode 645, but as I said, I'm going to get my Mania predictions up next week. I might go live for it. I might even go on camera. I might even be daring next week if my computer promises not to shut off on me. It's one of the reasons why I haven't done it yet. This computer still works fine. All of a sudden, though, these last few weeks, man, I could be recording and then boom, I get the blue screen. There's nothing worse. There's nothing worse than that. But so far tonight, it's behaved itself. Now, if I plug my camera in, it's kind of like a house of cards, you know? Put one too many cards on there, the whole thing falls over. We'll see. We might give that a shot next week. And then, of course, next weekend, two nights of WrestleMania. Join me here live on YouTube. We'll have more Super Chat parties. We'll have a good time. Thank you for all the support. Before I go, I do have to shout out Cheesy Booking. I did not forget about the Super Chat from Cheesy Booking. And I say, you should put Brandi Rhodes' facial reaction to the Super Chats. Yeah, she was thoroughly disgusted by Sammy Guevara. I might have to get that. Actually, if anybody can clip that for me and tweet that to me, I might just set that up as a new Super Chat. Disgusted Brandi goes with the Disgusted Undertaker Super Chat. So thank you to everybody. We got a lot of Lord Licorice fans here in the chat. Candyland. That was one of the earliest board games I can ever remember playing as a kid, was Candyland. Candyland and Hungry Hungry Hippos. And Trouble. Those were the favorites. And Monopoly. But Monopoly, I mean, come on. Monopoly is like, you know, I mean, everybody played Monopoly. You want to go for some of the other ones. Candyland, Hungry Hungry Hippos. There was another one. What the hell was it called? I don't remember. I know in video game form, Marble Madness. Marble Madness was one of my favorites. I wonder if I could find a website. Maybe I could do Sound Off Gamer. Marble Madness. Anyway, stay safe wherever you are. I feel like no matter where you are in the world, it's not necessarily the safest place to be right now. Here in New York, it sucks. So if you are in New York, if you are anywhere in the tri-state area, definitely stay home and be safe. And I will see you for episode 645 of the podcast this weekend. Until then, take care, guys.